and 24. You all are a lot faster at finding scriptures than I am. I think Darcy has the inside key. She knows what all the scriptures are. The verse never got out. She was already reading it. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Again, verse 23 says, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. That's a strong statement. That I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. The power in prayer. Now, young people, we know, because I've even mentioned it before, that when you get down on your knees and you pray to the Lord in heaven, that, and we read this in books, we hear it on the radios and all these kinds of things, and they tell us about how our prayers go up before and ascend before God. And while I'm telling you this, you can turn to the book of Revelation chapter 8, because there's a wonderful picture of the path of our prayer as it ascends into heaven from the book of Revelation chapter 8. But your prayers, when you get down on your knees, they ascend up to the Lord Himself, to the Holy God of the ages. And we oftentimes allude to the fact that they go beyond our parents, and they go up beyond the elected officials of this land, and they go up beyond the presidents of the United States, and they go up beyond the kings and the queens and the angels and the archangels, and they go beyond the cherubim and the seraphim. And they have to cover their feet, and they have to cover their faces in the presence of the Lord. And it goes right up to the Lord. In Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer with it, or offer it with, the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came from the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now, most people feel that this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, or this angel is the messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And our prayers, they may not be very good. They may not mean as much as they ought to mean, and they may not be as comprehensive as they ought to be. But our prayers, the Lord Jesus takes them, and with the incense that only He can put with them, raises them up to the Father, and the Father hears them in a way which is perfect. So it doesn't matter whether we pray very well or not, or it doesn't matter if we pray about everything that we ought to pray about, or we pray in words maybe that are a little hard for some people to understand, but the Lord Jesus takes our prayers and He makes them perfect so that they can enter into the holy presence of the Father Himself. I have some friends up in South Carolina, and I heard yesterday looking at Preacher's Cave that supposedly it's possible that some of you all might have been descendants of some people that fell off the coast of South Carolina, or however it happened. I don't recall. Maybe I have my history all wrong. I always have to be careful when you say these things, because I don't listen very well. The Lord Jesus isn't presenting all these words properly before me. But these friends in South Carolina, they have four little girls. And their little girls, when their daddy comes home, love to put together a nice bouquet of flowers for their father. I don't know if fathers like flowers. Mothers like flowers. I've never gotten a bouquet of flowers in my life. Do we like flowers? I guess they come from our daughters. We like flowers, don't we? They're beautiful. But anyway, they love to put together a bouquet of flowers for their dad. And they go outside, and they're very small, and they pick, and they pick, and they stuff them all in different things. Some of them have them in their pockets and in their shirt pockets. The oldest one maybe has a little glass of water and brings it out. So she stuffs all her flowers down in there, and they bring their flowers home to their mother. And then their mother takes these flowers, and she pulls out all the long strands of grass, and she sees that there are a few little dandelions in there too, and she takes them out, pulls the weeds out, takes all the flowers that these kids put together, and puts them in a big, fancy vase. And it's just beautiful. She has them all ordered and arrayed, and the colors are all right. And then when Daddy gets home, he gets this big bouquet of flowers. Just right. Now those kids, they don't know exactly what they're picking. Some of them are too young. And they're picking dandelions instead of nice roses. But the mother knows. And the mother takes them, and she makes them just right. So that when the father gets home, it's a beautiful bouquet of flowers. That's what our prayers are like. The Lord Jesus takes our prayers, and they're filled with a lot of grass, and they're filled with a lot of dandelions, and He presents them perfect before the Lord Himself. And brethren, we ought not to be afraid to pray. I don't pray very well, and you won't have to listen very long to me to notice that. It's an art that I have certainly not perfected. Some dear older saints, they take you and they elevate you right into heaven itself. And I really don't know what that's like to be able to do that. But you know, the Lord still listens to me. In our worship meetings on Sunday mornings, maybe all the men are out to sea, but three or four, and you've never said a word in your life. But the Father just wants to hear a little bit of thanks. He just wants to hear a little bit of an appreciation regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how well we pray. Thank the Lord. It just matters that we're being thankful and that we're enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ because He takes our prayers and He makes them just perfect. Revelation chapter 8, 3 and 4 then. You might want to just memorize that sometime so that you're certain that your prayers are just what the Lord Jesus Christ can make out of them and they come up before the Lord perfect. Now, if you'd like to be influential in life, young people, you will get down on your knees and pray. Tomorrow there is an election, and these are people that have influence. And we sometimes think that's the best way to have influence. We can become the corporate head of some huge company, and we can have influence. Or we can become the president of the United States, and we can have influence. Or whatever you might think that you need to be to have influence. But you don't have any kind of influence unless you are on your knees in prayer before God. The Lord's the one that handles all these people. He's the one that takes care of them. And if you're on your knees, you have more influence than any of them. You remember Lot and Abraham in the Old Testament? And Lot said, I don't know if this is what he said, but he liked Sodom. Maybe he wanted to have a little bit of influence. There were a lot of people down here in the valley. And there weren't too many people up in the mountains. And Abraham said, Lot, whatever you would like, you can have it. And Lot said, I think I'll take the lowlands where all the pretty grass is and where all the animals grow well too. And so down he went. And what does the Bible say? It says that first he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then it says that he dwelled in Sodom. And then it says that he sat in the gates of Sodom. He was an important person then. He was sitting in the gates of Sodom. I don't know how many people there were that were righteous before he got there, but I know there weren't very many after he had all of this influence for a lot of years. Because the Lord says, I'm going to destroy that place. Abraham said, maybe, Lord, if there's just 30. Or 20, or just 10 righteous men in that place. The influence didn't do very much, did it? That's not the place of influence. The place of influence is the throne of the living God. I think of Daniel. There's another man with influence, and why did he have influence? Because he got on his knees. How many times a day? Does anybody remember? 3 times. Very good. We got a lot of answers from up here. 3 times a day. Daniel was on his knees. And it wasn't because he was maybe second in command that he had a lot of influence. He didn't really want to be there after all. He liked those spinach and water. He didn't like all that fancy food and caviar. He would have just assumed him back home. But there he was, second to the king, a brilliant man. But he was a man of prayer. You know, it was power and politics and all these things that put Daniel right down in the lion's den. But it was only prayer that could take him out. And Daniel was a man of prayer. And if we want to be influential in life, we want to be close to the Lord, we need to commune with our Lord Jesus and with the Father through the Spirit in prayer. Now, I had mentioned that we would go a little bit through a prayer list. And this is just the list that sometimes I use, at least the order of it and the pages of it. And one of the reasons, honestly, that I'm doing this is so that I can get some good feedback from you all. Because I know my prayers pale in comparison with so many of you in here. And I really would appreciate that if you have some thoughts. Maybe just your lists that you use, or the way that you pray, or you pray with Scripture, or the times that you pray, or any of that. I'm willing to learn, and I would love to learn. Now, let me just go through a few things. Now, you that are younger in this room, it's nice to have a prayer list. One thing that it does, it keeps you from being a liar. If you have a prayer list. Have you ever said, instead of just saying goodbye, you said, I'll pray for you and walked off? I use that all the time. It's more of a departing comment than it is that I'm really going to pray for them. Is that the way you are? It'll keep you from being a liar. You go home and you write their name down on your prayer list. And then you can actually pray for them. The other thing about prayer lists, and I finally learned this, there are these older saints in meetings like this one that know everybody's name. If you're like me, I don't know names very well, and so I have to go up and kind of tap them with my elbow and say, I'm supposed to know that person's name over there. I should know it. Tell me what it is, and I can tell you every time. We have all of these memory seminars in the United States. You have them down here. You can get them on tape. You can get them on video. You can pay $1,000 and increase your memory. Remember everything you've read in the last 6 months. That sounds great. But I think this is the best memory seminar there ever was. That's a prayer list. I finally figured out the reason that these older saints know people so well and know their names so well is because they have them down and they pray for them day after day after day. And they know their names. They know their needs besides their names. And they don't forget them. That's the best thing you can do to remember somebody, is to have a prayer list. Okay, since I have a mind like a grasshopper, I need a prayer list. Otherwise, I jump everywhere. So what I do is I put down on my first page something like the worship and the adoration for the Lord. Just thanks to the Lord. Put down things maybe, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You can look at some great psalms and just adore the Lord. The adoration that we have for him. The attributes of God, his grace and his mercy and his love and his holiness and his righteousness. That's my first page. And it's adoration. Thanksgiving to the Lord. The second thing is confession. My own personal confession. You know, every David has his Bathsheba. And every person has iniquity like we cannot believe. If we're set up before the holiness of the Lord, we have enough sins in our life to sink a battleship. We need to be saints that confess to the Lord the little sins that we've done, maybe the things that we've said at school to someone else, or the way that we thought about someone else. We need to learn to confess. Have you ever in your prayers prayed like, Lord, I'm willing to be forgiven if you really want to forgive me? Have you ever prayed like that before? As if it's the Lord's responsibility or something, you know? Lord, if I need to confess, okay, I'll go ahead and confess. Wouldn't that be a horrible way to do it? What about, Lord, I have to tell you today, I have to admit to it, that I stole some car keys. And so I want to confess that to you. And then we never go on to tell them that there was actually a car attached. And we just kind of confess a little bit. And it's not full confession. It's not confession and then forsaking everything. It's just, well, Lord, this is kind of what I did today, instead of getting down and dirty and with the nitty-gritty. Lord, this is what I did. Lord, I wrote a bad check today. And, well, by the way, I'm planning on writing another one tomorrow, so I better confess it. Is that true confession? True confession is confessing and forsaking so that you never do it again. That's true confession. We confess. And then we forsake it forever. So that's the second page. And that is confession. The third page is maybe just some personal petitions for other people. Maybe personal petitions in my own life. Lord, keep me from sin. Lord, don't ever let me be satisfied with anything except yourself. You know, satisfaction is the grave of progress, they say. Lord, don't let me be satisfied. Lord, help me to look for your coming. Lord, help me to be Christ-like. What's the greatest, highest adjective that you can think of in the description of character, you older folks in here tonight? The highest possible adjective in the description of an individual's character. I think it's that right there, Christ-like. It's a simple one, but that's the best adjective that we could ever have. Lord, teach me to be Christ-like. Lord, help me to remember in all the things I say and do the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, help me to die to sin. And help me to die to the approval even of others' loved ones and my family even. There's a story about one man that joined the Salvation Army. It was in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And he had to go around with a sign on his back, with a motto on his back, that said, I am dead to public opinion. And he had the sign on his back only about 2 hours after he was saved, and he had to wear it for a day, walking through the town of Belfast. He said, you know, that was one of the most formative things I've ever done in my whole life. Saved for 2 hours, and I walked around with the sign on my back. Dead to public opinion. It doesn't matter. Lord, help me to be that way. Lord, help me to stay away from the sin of sectarianism. And you older folks will recognize that. We've never met a saint that we can't learn something from. Is that right? We may not agree with them, and praise the Lord for that. If we're following the truth, we must stand for the truth. But help us to enjoy other saints of the Lord. Lord, may I be kept this day in your will. Lord, lead me to people who are yearning to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We talk to a lot of people about the Lord, and it just seems like we're butting our heads up against the wall. Maybe we have to get on our knees and say, Lord, lead me to people that are yearning today to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me to take one day at a time, only one day at a time. There's a great little phrase that says, life by the inch is a cinch, and life by the yard is hard. So Lord, just help me take one day at a time. Lord, help me not to touch the glory. Help me not to touch the money. Help me not to touch vengeance. Brother Barron was over yesterday. I guess it was yesterday, wasn't it? It's nice to see you tonight. They're supposed to be gone, but they're here. But he was over yesterday, and he was saying that. He said, Lord, he said, the Lord says, vengeance is mine, and it's not ours. And so help us not to touch it. The Lord will take care of those things. And so we need to dedicate our lives, these personal petitions, every day. I put my life on the altar yesterday, and the wretched thing is trying to crawl off behind my back. That's Romans 12:1 in very loose terminology. Romans 12:1. Lord, my life is yours, but we don't need any buts in our prayers, do we? Those sins that are the hyphenated sins, how's that for a hard one? The sins in my life, like the selfishness or the self-centeredness. We need to stay away from those things. Page number 4. I would write down just general intercession. There are elders in many assemblies who pray for every person by name in that assembly every day. I know a dear brother in North Dakota that prays for 2 hours every morning with his wife. And they pray for every last soul in that assembly. Probably have 150 people, maybe 200. And I'll tell you, if you need some names, they've got them. They know everyone. They pray for every person. Those that are in affliction and distress, those in bonds, those in sickness, the rulers and all that are in authority, the elders in the church, the radio ministries, the Bible societies, the Christians and the Muslim and the communist countries. Islam either finds a desert or it makes one. How's that for a phrase? That's an interesting one, isn't it? Islam either finds a desert or it makes one. And that's what Satan is trying to do in our lives and what he's trying to do around this world. The Lord's looking for fruit. The 5th page. Praying for the unsaved. Praying for the unsaved. We have a man in our meeting back home in our assembly that sat at the Lord's table for about 15 years. I mean, he didn't partake, but he came to the worship meeting. He came to the teaching for about 15 years before he was saved. He had a very simple name because it just had 2 syllables, Gary Cook. Gary wouldn't mind me mentioning that. And so we as little kids could pray for him. We could remember that. And in our family, for some reason, we would just pray for him. We didn't know him all that well. And it was probably just because he had a name that we could say. And me and my sisters, we would just sit there and pray for Gary for 15 years. We prayed all the way up. The little 2-year-olds, 1-year-olds, they'd pray that Gary be saved. And you know, Gary was finally saved. We pray for the unsaved. We pray for him for a lot of years. It doesn't matter how long. The Lord can save them at any time. The 6th page. Praying for Christians. Their needs. There are some that are backslidden out there. Some that are going through trials. Some that are ill. Another page is the Lord's servants. Can you imagine what would happen today, seeing that some of the people that have sinned in the past that were supposedly in pulpits, fairly preeminent, can you imagine what would happen if Billy Graham fell into sin today? or someone like that. Maybe an elder here in this local assembly. It would be hard, wouldn't it? And we need to pray for those that are in authority. We need to pray, young people, for our parents. We need to pray for them. The eighth page, the Lord's Assembly. Because the Lord's Assembly means more to the heart of God, one of them, than the largest empire on the earth. The last page. Thanksgiving for answered prayer. Thanksgiving for simple things like health and like eyesight and like the ability to eat and to taste and to breathe and for parents and for Christian fellowship and all of these good things. There is a verse in Ephesians that says this, giving thanks always for all things. When I sit down at the table, we did today twice, and we gave thanks to the Lord for what He had provided for us. And of course, there is another passage, it's in Thessalonians chapter 5, that says, in everything give thanks. And so the old adage goes like this, it's one thing to give thanks for your food, but it's another thing to give thanks when you're the menu. And that person was talking about Daniel, the man that we talked about before in the lion's den. We can give thanks for a lot of things in our life, but when we're involved in them, ooh, that's when it gets hard. And so we give thanks for everything, and we give thanks in everything. Just in conclusion, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. And we will read a short passage of Scripture regarding the influence that you can have in prayer to the Lord. Matthew chapter 18. I was looking up some words today, some definitions in this verse. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, or verily, I say unto you, for whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's a powerful verse. Two of you can get down on your knees and agree on something. And if it's the Lord's word, the Lord's promise is this. It's set in this promise. It shall be done by the Father. But you know what that word agree means? It's the word from which we get symphony. It's symphoneo in the Greek. If two people get down on their knees and pray before the Lord and symphonize, then the Lord's promise is that it will be done. What does that mean? Well, there were a lot of people that came up and symphonized earlier, right? And the whole choir was up here. And what they were doing, they were holding up the score. They were holding up the notes and they were holding up the words. And they were reading them, or else they'd read them and memorized them in the past. And not only were they reading the score, but they were looking above the score and they were following the director. And the director was directing them. And as they read and as they watched, then they sang and we had beautiful music. And that's the way it is with the Lord. When we're reading the score, and when we have our eyes upon the song leader of all song leaders, then we'll symphonize with His will and His desire. Here's the score, right here. And we can look at the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture itself. And the promise is that there will be beautiful music made when our prayers are answered. So it's fun to look at prayer lists. I don't know how many of you have prayer lists. Does anybody in here actually use a prayer list? You don't need to raise your hand. There are a couple hands raised, though. Thank you. A prayer list is a good thing, isn't it? Maybe it's a good time to start. I need to spend more time with my prayer lists. And I need to pray before the Lord in heaven. Our Father, we are thankful for the good things that You give us again in Your Scripture. And Father, we're just thankful to know that You have promised us that if we get down on our knees and agree with Thyself concerning anything, that it shall be done. That prayer is a wonderful thing. But Father, maybe the most special thing about prayer is simply that we are able to commune with the One that we love. That we are able to listen to Him, and that we are able to speak with Him, just as a lover would to the loved one. And so, Father, cause us to love to pray, be we young or be we old, that we might long to pray before Thyself, Lord. Teach us to write things down. Teach us to never be liars when we say we'll pray for someone. And teach us as well to pray, as Scripture says, because if we don't pray, we're going to faint. And that's just the way that it is. And so, Lord Jesus, we just do thank you again that you take our prayers and you make them right before the Father, and we're thankful that he hears them. And so we pray rejoicing in that fact. In Jesus' name, amen. You all are more than welcome to get up and head back. I guess it's sort of the tradition here or something that I'm supposed to walk down to the back, but I'm not used to doing that. I'm used to just walking down to the front pew and relaxing for a minute or something, hiding out. But I will be more than happy to walk back as well. But you're certainly welcome to jump up and go. But thank you all again for your time.